There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 870, February 1st. 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. As you know, Saturday I was at Daytona, so I have to start with boogity boogity. Let's go racing, boys. And I have a revelation. Never thought I would say this, but I want to go outside, not in the rain, but in the Daytona 500 next year, and we shall explain later, gladly.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, WTR wins Daytona 24 hours. Felipe, Fernando is faster than you. Toto says yes to engine freeze. We have more from Gary Sloan in the pitlane.com. And we have a bonus feature, a chit-chat from across the pond. And I also want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Man, I am doing extremely good. Thank you for asking. It's been a while, you know. Last year, same time, I went to the Daytona 24-hour race. And since then, like most people, I am in my own private gulag, courtesy of COVID-19. How are things for you on the left coast?
The left coast, the palatial studios, the beautiful California sunshine is absolutely charming as usual.
Great. And you know, a blessing in disguise because of COVID-19, we were unable to get a media pass for this year's event, but this turned out to be a blessing in disguise and quite an eye-opener for me. As I have said many times on the show, that Daytona track and the Indy 500 is very fan-friendly, and that is, of course, thanks to the staff at both places. And on Saturday, because of lack of crowd, I was able to get parking right in front of the main gate, which certainly helps in this old age. And then, Mr. Rogers, I went to the top of the grandstand just before the first turn, and man, what a beautiful sight it was. You can see the entire facility, the whole track. And the Daytona track is not as oval as you might think. But I have to confess my first two thoughts as soon as I saw this wonderful view. The first was, no wonder Billy Bob loves NASCAR so much. And my second thought immediately after that was, moi would like to attend this race next year. Are you ready to listen to Brett Favre saying, gentlemen, let's get it on?
I am.
But you don't sound excited, Mr. Rogers. Normally you're very upbeat about NASCAR and all the things you talk about.
I am upbeat. I'm excited. NASCAR has no lug nuts in 2021. There's a lot to look forward to.
That's beautiful. Yes. And as you have seen, Mr. Rogers, especially when we did our famous interview with Eddie Cheever, when we go to a track together, most of our time is spent chasing people, trying to do interviews or set up interviews. And once you're in the paddock, that's the world you are in. So this COVID-caused conundrum turned out to be quite an eye-opener for me, and I am very, very happy. And frankly speaking, that is the truth. So from now on, when I go to a track, it will be a case of a little more action, a little less conversation. We definitely want some conversation and some interviews, but we don't want to spend 3 days in the paddock because then we miss out on a lot of things. And like last year, another member of F1 Weekly Familia, Mr. Greg Gooditis, was also there at the track. and we did our annual motorsports chit-chat. And this time his uncle also came down from New York, and he used to work for Gulf Oil in the 70s. And we talked about the beautiful, iconic Gulf colors. And by the way, the race was won by the Acura, like you said, of Wayne Taylor Racing. You know, I was so surprised. If Acura had pulled out of IMSA competition, that can be easy to understand. But I was surprised, very surprised. They stayed in the game, but departed from Roger Penske team. I'm sure there's a reason and a story there. And instead of having two cars with one team, they have two cars with two different teams. And this was Wayne Taylor's racing third win in a row, and I believe it's their fourth victory in the last 5 years. And the drivers were Felipe Albuquerque of Portugal, Mr. Alexander Rossi from Nevada City, California, Elio Castro, Nodash Nevis, and Wayne Taylor's son, Ricky Taylor. So this was interesting. Did you watch any of the show, sir?
Of course. It was exciting and wonderful. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, these cars are beautiful. And Kamui Kobayashi was second in a Cadillac. And other of our early days of podcasting friend, Mr. Harry Tinknell from Exeter, England, was third for Mazda. I think, you can check on this, but I think Alexander Rossi was one of the very first drivers we ever interviewed. Am I correct, sir?
I think it's Scott Speed's mom.
No, I'm talking about a driver.
Oh, okay. It's possible, Nasser. You know, my memory is beginning to fail.
Yeah. And I remember he was so young, but I had to ask him if I can get permission from his dad that we can talk to him. And that was a word of caution from our then executive producer, Mr. David Tapia. Good idea, though. So, okay, this was interesting. Have you heard what Signor Luca di Montezemolo has been saying? Apparently, he himself is smelling spaghetti culture at Maranello. Are you on top of this, his comments?
Well, yes. Apparently, and I suspected this from the start, that they went in the back of Maranello where they keep a lot of 50-gallon drums of Shell oil and Shell petroleum products. And lo and behold, when they were opened, it was all spaghetti sauce.
Oh, and Luca found out.
Luca could smell it a mile away.
Yeah, he said, we used to look for our flaws and hire the best talent for positions in problem areas, whether it was aerodynamics, electronics, mechanical. Then he said, now the Scuderia is not properly organized and it cannot be changed in a year. Now one person is responsible for everything. I think that's the finger in the direction of Mattia Binotto. But then he says, I hope he will find those who can help him soon. And Luca came to Ferrari when Lauda was new to the team. Then he made it very successful. Then he was gone. He was head of the Italian World Cup football, you know, when they had it there. And he's done other things. And then he came back and they had this uber success with Michael Schumacher and Jean Todt. But I don't think he's coming back again. What do you think?
I don't think so either, to be honest with you. Well, I don't want to be anti-spaghetti, but yeah. I mean, even Sainz Jr. has accepted the fact that things are going to take time in Maranello.
Yes. And you know, you talk about Nando all the time. One of the gentlemen who helped him a lot in the early stages of his career, Mr. Adrian Campos, he himself was a F1 driver, owned a team in GP2. Which is now F2, and he passed away, which was very shocking, and he was, I think, only 60 years old. So our condolences to his family and friends, and this was really, really surprising. I thought he died from COVID complication, but apparently he had some health, heart issue. But still, you know, 60 is very young in this day and age.
Indeed, our condolences to his entire family, and it makes us want to take more vitamins.
Exactly. Okay, sir, still no news on who will be driving number 44. I think it's just a matter of time. Do you have any new speculation, new report from Marca via Fernando Alonso or a text message from anybody?
No, but Fernando did reaffirm that Lewis Hamilton will win the world championship in 2021.
Man, how did he find that out?
He texted Pedro de la Rosa.
His buddy. You know what they should do? They should really use this these two people in a like a telecommunications, Telefonica commercial, you know. Wherever you are, whether you're at Silverstone or Fiorano, you can stay in touch by texting. And maybe they could be standing in front of a photocopier shop, you know, when doing this commercial. That was beautiful. Anything else you want to talk about, Senor?
You're a brilliant man. Nothing at all, sir. I think it's time we listen to Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So speculation fills the vacuum that is Lewis Hamilton's contract negotiations. There may be one factor that has been overlooked. 2020 was a year Lewis decided to take a very vocal and public stand on social justice with his involvement in the Black Lives Matter movement. After organising the kneeling protest before the races, Lewis upped the ante with the wearing of the Arrest the Cops That Killed Breonna Taylor t-shirt on the podium at Mingela, prompting the FIA to investigate. Hamilton hit back. I don't know what they, the FIA, are going to do this weekend. Lots of rules have been written for me over the years, and they haven't stopped me. At the Russian race, Hamilton stuck to his principles, stating, I don't regret a single moment of it. I follow my heart and do what is right, and that was me following my heart. I did something that has never really happened in F1, and obviously they will stop it from happening moving forwards. People talk about sport not being a place for politics, but ultimately it's a human rights issue, and that is something we should be pushing towards. We have a huge, amazing group of people that watch our sport from different backgrounds and cultures, and we should be pushing positive messages towards them, especially for equality. Then, before the Bahrainian Grand Prix, he claimed Formula One has a consistent and massive problem with human rights abuses in the places it visits. Chase Carey responded quickly with, we are very proud of our partnership here in Bahrain. Hamilton has acknowledged that he needs to learn more about the countries like Saudi Arabia and was praised by Amnesty International for his efforts. Hamilton commented, we realise we've got to face and not ignore the human rights issues in the countries that we go to. Not just the 20 years, 30 years from now, but now. I want to help F1 and Mercedes in that journey. And moving more sustainable as a sport, I want to see if I can be part of that for a little bit longer. Well, he's received the backing of his boss, Toto Wolff, who proclaimed, whatever he does, we will support. The team is fighting against any kind of racism and discrimination, and if it's Lewis's personal fight for Black Lives Matter, with all the support we can give him, it's his call. 2020 saw Hamilton included in Time magazine's list of the 100 most influential people in the world, prompting the only black NASCAR driver, Bubba Wallace, to declare, his activism has also moved the world. Lewis has brought international attention to the Black Lives Matter movement through his advocacy on social media and at F1 events. He's an inspiration for everyone. What Lewis may be struggling with is the enormity of the challenge and the personal attacks, especially on the allegations of hypocrisy. The recent spitting image sketch lampooned him mercilessly for taking money from the likes of Petronas, a company with a checkered past. His salary comes from Mercedes, another company not exactly controversy-free. Think corrupt practices and the Dieselgate scandal. His new boss at Ineos knows a thing or two about tax avoidance, something Hamilton is familiar with after moving to Switzerland and Monaco. It's fair to say Hamilton has divided opinion, with some praising his stance, others criticising, and then they are, unfortunately, the Hamilton haters. For Lewis, it's getting personal, with Najin Yousif, the Bahrainian activist who was allegedly tortured, sexually assaulted and jailed for 3 years for criticising the Grand Prix in social media, has written to Hamilton directly. Hamilton has also received a letter from 11-year-old Ahmed Ramadan, whose father is facing the death penalty after a controversial trial in Bahrain, with a message that simply said, Lewis, please save my father. Speculation on Hamilton's contract negotiations revolved around pay, the length of the deal, sponsorship media appearances, a share of the team's revenues. But what if Hamilton has had enough of the pressure? As he continues his pre-season training in the calm of the mountains, he may ponder, is this all too much for one person? Better instead to step back and enjoy his other interests, leaving behind the cauldron that is Formula One. Time will tell. That's it for another week. More details in thepitlane.com. Till next week, stay safe, stay well.
Thanks, Gary. Keep up the good work. And now we're going to shoot it back to NAS because he's been zooming around the world lately.
Yes, sir. Zooming around is the good way to put it without leaving your home. And this is a chat that we've been trying to do, and Mr. Peter Brazier was kind enough to give his time on Sunday, so we had a nice motorsports chat, and he'll be talking about his addition to his collection of vintages, which is very interesting. And we are really, really, all of us looking forward to this virus to be over so we can do some motorsports-related travel. So please enjoy this conversation with Mr. Peter Brazier. And once again, my sincere thanks to him for his time. And if all goes well, we shall meet soon.
Okay, folks, now we have live in lockdown, Mr. Peter Brazier. Peter, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Nazir. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. I was at Daytona yesterday. What a fantastic place. And I went to the top of the grandstands. You can see the whole track. It's so impressive. You're not going to believe what I'm going to say next. I am now seriously thinking of going to the Daytona 500 next year.
Excellent. Are you going to change your name to Billy Bob?
Yes, Billy Bob Nass.
Well, it's even if I had that facility around here, we wouldn't be allowed to visit it at the moment because we're still pretty well locked down in the UK. And besides that, it's freezing outside anyway. So you're enjoying the Florida sunshine.
Absolutely, and loving it. Okay, now we all know how much you like Lewis Hamilton. And I have to ask you a couple of questions. First is, I hear you and Lewis now have one thing in common. Please explain.
Oh, where to begin? Yeah. Well, I think most people know I have got a Ferrari 308, which I've converted to electric. It's got a Tesla drive unit in it. So it's gone from having about 200 horsepower to about 500 horsepower. There's plenty to see. If you Google and have a look on YouTube at the electric 308, you'll see all sorts of stuff there. It's quite a famous car. But I'm getting to that age where getting in and out of a Ferrari 308 is a little difficult. So I decided I wanted to do something that was more appropriate. And I've always, always loved the Mercedes 190 SL, late 50s, early 60s. Just a really gorgeous little car, two-seater. It's actually two and a half. You can get a sideways seat in the back. But it's a two-seater, really, really pretty, and an absolutely ideal candidate for electrification. I've bought myself one of those, so I'm now a Mercedes owner. That's currently in the body shop, having 62 years of rust removed, and it's going to get converted to electric. So, yeah, I'm now a Mercedes driver.
Great, great. So next time I'm in the UK, are we going to go to Silverstone in a SL?
Yes.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, the other thing I want to ask you, reference to Lewis Carl Hamilton, your thoughts on him being knighted, Sir Lewis Hamilton. Were you delighted?
Well, I wasn't delighted because, you know, I'm not a fan, but it was obviously well justified and well earned. There's a huge controversy over the honours system here anyway. You know, it should be going to doctors and nurses this year, not fantastically wealthy sportsmen who don't pay VAT. But that's a different, quite contentious subject. No, his career has been utterly incredible. We were just discussing his various teammates and the efficacy of his teammates. Yeah, it's just utterly incredible. He's equaled Schumacher's number of titles in much less time. He's going to be the first driver to get 100 wins, isn't he? Easily.
Oh, yes.
Assuming he returns next year. He hasn't signed his contract, has he?
Well, which brings us, what do you think is behind all this delay? I've never seen this kind of stuff. I mean, we had the situation with Senna, but it was pretty obvious he was going to drive for McLaren sooner or later, which he did, you know, $1 million per race. What do you make of Lewis not signing? What's your thoughts? What is the local media saying there?
It's weird, isn't it? I can't imagine that he's making demands that are unaffordable to Mercedes, although, you know, Mercedes are going through a rough patch. The Mercedes, the car manufacturer, not just necessarily the Formula One team. So throwing tens of millions at a uber successful driver that's already proved everything there is to prove whilst laying off people in Stuttgart doesn't look politically correct. So whether it's the rumours that I've seen going around on social media are that he's demanding too much money and he wants a share of the television money, which I don't know how that works because the television money is for the Formula One group, not him.
You know, I hear all these things and I mean, what the truth is, I really don't know. And I don't think many, I mean, everybody's giving their opinion. He wants a share of this. And I heard that he does not want to do a lot of these sponsors engagements, which to me seems very realistic because they do ask a lot of, you know, things to do, go places apart from races. And as far as the money part is concerned, the money he has, personally, if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't worry about $5, $10 million, especially if somebody's putting me in a car where all I have to do is win, drive and win the race and championship. Yeah. I don't know, but obviously there is something there. The other thing that I'm more tempted to believe is the length of contract. Apparently, he wants like a 3 or 4 year deal, and Mercedes is not willing to do that. But I do want to ask you, what did you make of George Russell? That performance when Lewis was out.
That was incredible, wasn't it? It goes back to the discussion we had about Lewis's teammates over the years. You know, he managed to match Alonso in that first year, but it was a really weird year. They had exactly the same points at the end of the year, even though, well, no, they weren't taken away from the drivers. They were taken away from McLaren because of the incident with the photocopier. Then there was a couple of years with Kovalainen, who he obviously blew away. But when he was partnered with Jenson Button, they didn't have a race-winning car, but Jenson Button outscored him over those 3 years, got more points. And he didn't exactly blow... Oh,
what was Nico Rosberg.
Rosberg. And, of course, Nico took a championship off him. So, you know, it's not that super dominant. So I think he's just been... He's obviously been lucky, being in the right car at the right time. And having the right kind of teammate, because Bottas hasn't troubled him at all. The people that have troubled him get on very well, did they? I think it's a crime that we haven't got George Russell in one of those cars next year, because that would have just given us some racing again.
Yes, you know, I mean, I myself and millions of race fans around the world are craving for Max as Lewis's teammate. I think that will be... Prost and Senna at McLaren, or yeah. Lewis's first year with Alonso. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I'll tell you, George really impressed me. And I followed his career from his karting days.
Yeah.
And his first success, which I think was in British Formula 4. I mean, he did win the championship, but it was not very impressive. But then he won GP3 in his first year, which was impressive. And the year he beat Lando Norris in Formula 2, that really blew me away because at that time, Lando had taken part in 5 championships and won all of them. And I really thought what he did to, and Lando actually won the first race of the season. So I thought, man, this is the guy. And that, I think, the only race he won all season long. And then George Russell just completely dominated. And, you know, when I did an interview with him in Austin, a couple of years ago after he had won the Formula 2 championship. And I said to him, a lot of people were expecting a battle royale between you and Lando. And he very correctly, and I was trying to be politically correct, so I said that, which is not my normal style, as you know. But he did say to me, no, a lot of people were expecting Lando Norris to blow me away. And so he has done a tremendous job. And proof is in the pudding and performance, what he did in Sakhir. That was just unbelievable. I really wanted him to win that race, but for whatever reason, did not happen. And there's conspiracy theories on that also. Did he really have to? Did he really have a puncture? So people will always question, no matter what happens.
Well, because of those circumstances, we got a really good demonstration of his ability to drive. Because if he'd have just gone out from the front and driven off into the sunset, it wouldn't have been half as impressive. Was he, what, it was 3 times he had to come back through the field?
Yes. He really, really confirmed that Bottas is finished Barrichello, if there was any doubt in anybody's mind.
I think that's being rude to Barrichello.
Okay. I'll apologize to him when I see him. Okay. Looking back next season, what really stood out for me was wonderful races at Portimão in Portugal. Yeah. I loved the race in Turkey, loved the race in Mugello. What, apart from the Mercedes domination, what did you like or did you enjoy most last season?
It all seemed a bit of a blur. It was a bit weird, wasn't it, because of the COVID restrictions and everything else.
What about Sergio Perez winning his first Grand Prix?
That was good to see, wasn't it? That was pleasing.
That was very impressive, and he was dead last at, I think, after the opening lap or in the early stages.
Yeah. That was a good old mixed up race.
And the Monza race, Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
That was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, what are your racing plans for 2021? Assuming I was hoping, you know, towards the end of last year, like October, November, I was hoping that COVID should be over by March. And I was trying to make some travel plans to come to Europe. But looks like this thing may drag on all season long.
I think we're in for another summer of restrictions. I can't see it. You know, I'm now the owner of a pub.
Mark Webber's pub.
Yeah, the pub Mark Webber used to own, and his girlfriend used to manage it. We still get fan mail at the pub addressed to Mark, so I take it round and put it through his letterbox. Yeah, the pub came up for sale a couple of years ago. Got together with, in the end, 42 other people locally. All chipped in. We raised the money, were able to buy it, and I've spent the summer in quarantine, project managing its refurbishment. So there's a little bit of Formula One related thing there. I may ask Mark to come along at the grand opening and cut a ribbon because he's got a connection there.
Have you kept the name, or is it now called Peter's Pub?
No, it's still the Stag. The Stag at Mentmore. If you want to go and have a sneak look, we've got a temporary website up called, and it's literally www.thestag.pub.pub.
And what kind of food will there be?
We're going to have proper homemade, locally sourced food, well-presented, homemade, not fine dining, but good quality pub grub. We're going to have a good selection of beers. It's a free house. It's not tied to a brewery, so we can buy from whoever we like. We can use the local suppliers for ales and stuff like that. People get excited about those things. So we're looking forward to it, keeping the thing alive in the community, because there's a lot of pubs going bust and getting converted into dwellings. And small villages like ours, when they lose the pub, it's part of the soul taken out.
And are you planning on any F1 get-together or F1 viewing party or anything related to Formula One with the pub?
Well, as you know, we're not that far from Silverstone. I think when the British Grand Prix is on, we'll do something special, because there is still that connection. And as I say, I mean, I was there in the summer and in spring this last year, and a car pulls up and four guys get out and say, "Where's Mark Webber?" I apologise now to all Australians for that. But there were four Australians touring the UK just at the start of the lockdown. They were literally heading back to Heathrow to get on a plane to go home. And I had to explain that he hasn't been there for about 6 years.
Good, good. So this is all good stuff. And hopefully next time I'm around, we can, grab a meal there.
Absolutely.
Remember last time we went there, and the food was pretty good and very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I ran into Mark Webber's girlfriend, Anne, after our meeting at a race, and I told her we were there. And she said, "Oh, you should have asked for me." I said, "We did, but you were not there, nor was Mark." So now a real important question is, I know you're in touch with Anne, his girlfriend. Can we set up a face-to-face interview opportunity with Mark Webber at your pub next time?
We should do that, shouldn't we?
It should be pretty easy. I'm hoping now that you have a direct line with Anne.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that. I just pop the fan mail in through a letterbox and exchange the old email.
Okay. So, yeah, we can always try that. Now, let me ask you a question. I am dying to go to a place that I've never been. And, of course, any travel I do is motor racing related. So because of this COVID issue, I am thinking the earliest opportunity I will have would be like June or July. But July 4th weekend is the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
If there is no COVID, or COVID disappears at the end of March, or let's say April, Do you have any plans to go to an event, motorsports event, Formula One, race car show, anything this year?
I have no plans whatsoever. Like I say, this COVID thing is, I don't think it's going to be clear by then. I think it's going to be well at the back end of summer before things get anywhere close to normal. And most certainly motor racing circuits opening up to the public in Europe won't happen till the back end of the year.
And looking forward to the season, I mean, apart from who's going to win, even Alonso has said that Lewis will win the championship. Talking of Alonso, how do you think he will do in the Alpine car? And what will happen to his teammate Ocon?
That's going to be interesting because that car's not where it should be. They've changed all the management as well, which I thought it's just so Alonso to move to a team and then all the management gets changed. And when they change management on that scale, teams never get instantly better, do they?
Yeah, but you're interesting you say that about Alonso. You know, it's been reported in the media like that also. Whether it's true or false, I don't know. But what's going to happen? Do you remember when Michael Schumacher came back to Mercedes?
Yeah.
I mean, hardly anybody even in the media paid any attention to Nico Rosberg. And as if that was not bad enough, he even took his number. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think Nico had number 3 or whatever, and Michael took that. And I think that's what's going to happen at Alpine. Alonso comes in. The media is going to go gaga about him. The team will go gaga about him. And Ocon is going to feel like a stepchild. But do you think performance-wise, Esteban will be able to trouble Machismo, man?
He won't trouble him, no. It's going to come down to the car. It's going to come down to who gets the updates and driving style and all that. And, of course, they're going to be midfield.
Yeah, and a midfield car, maybe he can bring it into a top 3 or a top 5, but I just cannot see him beating Lewis in a Mercedes or Max in a Red Bull. Now, there's a lot of talk that pretty much a deal has been done that Red Bull will be able to keep Honda engines, whatever they're called, after the season. And, of course, reports are that Honda is going to try its very best to go out on a high this season. Any chance you think Max will win the championship this year?
No. No. You never know. Honda have been getting better and better every year. Adrian Newey is still there designing the car. Mercedes are just so sorted. It's difficult to imagine a situation where they're not going to just be fast out of the box and stay fast all season.
Now, with the performance put in by George Russell, do you think Mercedes will renew Bottas after this season? I mean, I will be dazed and amazed if they renew him and not bring in George Russell.
We don't know what's in the contract that attenuates Hamilton's teammates. Perhaps that's what the delay is.
It's an interesting thing. I remember once Lewis himself made a comment in a press conference to Seb that Seb has a veto over his teammate, and Seb said, no, I don't. I would be surprised if Lewis has something like that. I mean, this is the guy who was so impressive in his rookie season against a guy who had dethroned the Red Baron. So I don't know, but I will be surprised if there is such a clause there. But obviously, you know, the last thing you want, because these drivers know who is good out there, last thing you want is Max coming into the team or Charles Leclerc coming into the team. Talking of teammates, you think Sergio Perez will be able to rattle the cage of Max Verstappen?
I hope so. I doubt he'll do it every weekend consistently. Max is proving to be really consistent at performing. But let's hope he can do some cage rattling, because that's what we need. We need some excitement on the track.
Yeah, I agree with you. Once in a while, he will get the upper hand, either in qualifying or in the race. But I just cannot see him outscore or outwin Max Verstappen at Red Bull. It's interesting. They have him for 1 year. And before Sergio signed with this team, he was already making comments that his 2022 season is pretty much sorted out. So we'll see how it goes. Now, Sebastian Vettel will be racing British Racing Green. What do you make of his chances? First of all, do you think he's washed out, as some people do?
washed out. I don't know.
That he's lost the winning touch. Do you buy that?
No. I just think he's probably one of those drivers that if he's not in a winning car, yeah, so that is losing his winning touch, isn't it? You know, just to push no matter what you're in. We'll see. We'll see what kind of car they produce. But again, you know, if you're not in a Mercedes, you've got to think as a driver, you go, oh, God, not another weekend.
Yeah, and I think there is some racing fight and wins left in this guy. He has to have the right bagage, but it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Now, I don't know if you followed Formula 2 last season. This Japanese kid, Yuki Tsunoda, it was his rookie season. He won 3 races, had a pole or 2. And I was very surprised to find out Mick Schumacher, who won the championship in his second year, in 2 years of Formula 2, he did not have a single pole position for a feature race. You know, the sprint race pole does not count because if you finish 8, you get the pole. So that was very surprising. And he won 3 races. Mick Schumacher got 2 wins this season in his second year. Do you think Yuki Tsunoda is the real deal? And do you think he will rattle the cage of the guy who won the Monza Grand Prix, Pierre Gasly?
I have to admit, I haven't been following Formula 2 this year. So I don't know. I haven't watched that. But let's get some cage rattlers in.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love that. And I was, as I said, at Daytona, a lot of Formula 1 people there. Robert Kubica is there. And, of course, Kevin Magnussen has moved to this side of the pond. And it's a great event, you know, and the American sports car scene is now reunited like the Indy cars, so it's pretty strong series. Do you follow sports cars, Le Mans, hypercars and all that? Any interest in that?
I've never been a fan of Le Mans. As you know, I like to go to the BTCC.
Would you like to say hello to the F1 Weekly Familia?
Yeah, tell them to follow me on lorry.b.uk.
I will do so.
All right.
A very natural Lorraine.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think we were sort of coming to the end anyway, weren't we?
Yeah, that's fine. No, it's like about... No, we can do another 5-6 minutes. Next question, very important. We've been to the Donington Museum a few times, and you know how much we enjoyed there, the van walls and the older cars and stuff, the blue mattress, and that is unfortunately gone. Where did those cars go, and what is the premier Formula One related museum in the UK now that we can go to?
I don't know. We'll have to do some research, won't we? I don't know where there were a lot of cars there. The only one I know of is the Tyrrell, the 6-wheel Tyrrell, ended up in the States because I saw someone did a video on it. But Lordy knows what happened to all those cars, because there was a lot of the biggest collection of McLarens in the world, wasn't there? There was a whole room full of McLarens.
Yeah, and man, I just love those late 50s green van walls.
Yeah.
I will have to find a place to go and see
them. It's a shame, because I think that museum was pretty unique, that it had such a big collection spanning the entire history of Formula One.
Right.
From the 50s all the way through to modern machinery. Very well laid out, very well curated. So yeah, we'll have to find a new Donington. I wonder if some ended up at Brooklands.
Yeah. And you know, one day, do you remember the trip you, Dr. Mark and I, we made to Spa, crossing the ferry and all that?
Oh yeah.
I think we have to do one of the things I really, really want to do, Peter, and I talked to this about with Dr. Miguel also, is drive the Targa Florio circuit, the road circuit, one of these days.
Yeah.
Is that something? And I will do the driving, since the cars there are left-hand drive. Would you like to join that party?
That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Are you a fan of Targa Florio?
Yeah, it's a piece of history that's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's something very, very high on my bucket list. I've been thinking about this. I even talked to, this guy, Davide Valsecchi, who was in GP2 racing, and he's now a commentator for Fox Sports Italia, I believe. I even talked to him about going there, and he was also interested. So we might do some sort of a very interesting trip in Sicily one of these days. Anything else you want to say, sir?
I don't think so. Just stay safe. Don't catch any viruses. It's just a bizarre world at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And same to you. And do you have any plans once this is all over for a trip to the US, to the colonies?
We haven't. We had one that was set up for the back end of last year. And that, of course, got Lorraine was going to come and do some acting classes in Los Angeles. And we were going to go off and drive to Las Vegas and do the usual touristy bits. But that all got cancelled. No, we got absolutely no plans to go anywhere because making plans right now is of all but impossible. We don't even know what airlines are going to survive this, travel companies. It's a very bizarre world.
It is. And I hope things get back to normal as soon as they can. But we shall see. Okay, I want to ask you a question. How many races do you think Lewis Hamilton will this season? I'm almost certain he's going to hit 100 Grand Prix wins and 100.
What's he on at the moment? 90?
I think 95, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it's 95 poles and 95 wins and 98 poles.
Yeah. He'll easily top 100 on both.
Yeah, that'll be quite an achievement. Okay, Mr. Brazier, it's great chatting you, and hopefully sometime this year we will connect somewhere in England. And remember, we've talked about going to the gym, the new Jim Clark Museum also.
Yep.
And we have to do that, you know. You know what I will do is, whenever we plan this thing, and if it's okay with you, I'll ask Peter Windsor, because I see him at the races, and it's always good to chat to. I'll ask if he would like to go with us. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
That'll be an incredible journey and conversation with him.
Genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, and so passionate and so knowledgeable about motor racing. It's unbelievable. Okay, great. So, okay, sir, any message for the F1 Weekly listeners around the world?
Everybody stay safe. Hopefully we'll get through this next season, and maybe some people can actually go to races.
Thank you very much, sir. As always, a great pleasure chatting with you.
And you. Thanks, Nazir.
Thank you.
Peter, outstanding. Keep up the good work. The check is in the mail now. Any final thoughts before we head for Bahrain?
Yes, sir. We will, of course, we have to talk more about Nando. So today's famous last words, Nando has spoken, and according to Machismo Man of 2021, Machismo Man, you already said that he said the world champion this year will be his ex-teammate. But this was very interesting, which caught my attention. Then he talks about the importance of the package, citing George Russell's performance in Bahrain. He said, and I quote, "In 5 days, not 100 days, he went from last to first, all without a divine touch, without meditating in Tibet or that shit." End of quote. Boy, he's going high and divine and deep in the bowel.
Well, he pictured himself in that car, waving to the crowd with his 17th championship. So he was in a little dream state there, Nasser, but you got to give it to him. What he says is true.
Oh, yes. He is the Spanish EF Hutton.
So real quickly, we haven't heard from LCH signing the contract. Will we get the LCH Hancock, or is Mercedes holding on to something?
I think they're trying to hold on to $10, $15 million, I think.
I completely agree, Nas. An outstanding job, but I do agree that they're trying to do the moral thing, because unfortunately with this COVID thing, a lot of automobile manufacturers now switching from gas to electric, but they're also phasing out diesel. And these diesel factories will be Neanderthals, museum pieces now. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people getting laid off. They're losing their jobs. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their mortgage. Do we need to pay Lewis Hamilton $50 million?
Yes, when there are drivers available who will drive for free so they can win the world championship. So that is Mercedes has a valid point, you know, especially time and circumstances taking into consideration.
You're absolutely correct, Nas. I have one more question about the hot dogs at Daytona.
You know, I did not do any hot dog. I did not see a lot of action. There were not many people there, but I'm sure somewhere there was a hot dog stand, which is pretty much a tradition at major events.
And on that note, Ness, I will see everybody at that hot dog stand. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.